Coming up next on The Voice of Alabama Politics, Cannabis Commission Deja Vu. Also, a look at Alabama gaming, fact versus myth, and the race in the 2nd District heats up.
May whatever God you believe in have mercy on your souls.
Well, I don't know how that's going to end. Probably not well. All this and much, much more coming up next on The V. Welcome to The Voice of Alabama Politics, where we tackle the tough issues so you have the hard facts. I'm your host, Bill Britt, and as always, I'm joined by Susan Britt, research guru extraordinaire, and Josh Moon, columnist and investigative reporter at APR.
Welcome. Yep.
Hello, hello.
A Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everybody. 2024,
and hard to believe.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. Just keep rolling, man.
Tick-tock, tick-tock.
Like water over a broken down dam. Well, Josh, you sort of kicked off the new year talking about the 2nd Congressional District race. Mm-hmm. And that is a big race because for the first time, Democrats will actually have an opportunity to win that race. And yep. I think from what we're seeing out there, they're heavily favored to win the race. You kind of handicapped it a little bit, but there are about a dozen people running on the Democratic side
right
now. Out of that dozen, there's at least 6 that nobody's ever heard of.
And probably will never hear.
And when you got 2 months to get your name ID up and all that, unless you want to spend $1 million in television ads, you're in trouble, right?
Yeah, and I think that's what it's going to come. I actually, you know, I feel like for most of the candidates in there, even the ones that we know well, I think they're still going to have some trouble with name ID in that district because a lot of the better known ones are not necessarily living in the district.
Right.
So because you have Anthony Daniels, Wanda LeVon, Marika Coleman, who don't live in the district.
Right.
Now, I think they are some of the better known candidates in this, and Jeremy Gray as well, some of the better known candidates in this race, and they still don't live there, and so they're going to have to spend a lot of money. And I think even somebody like Napoleon Bracey, when you're talking about a candidate that lives in the district but down in Mobile, and he's going to have to win. I think personally, I think that Montgomery is the key to this.
Right.
You know, it's a big voting pool there that's going to decide the race, and he's going to have to up his name ID there too. And so I think it's basically going to boil down to money: who can raise it, who can spend it, who can get the ads out and tell people who they are.
I mean, and we're in the Montgomery, Dothan, and the Mobile market.
Yes, we
and
are.
I can tell you, it ain't cheap.
No. It ain't cheap. It ain't cheap. Running our show in those areas is not cheap. And so, and we are not a major, you know, affiliate. So it's going to get real expensive down there real quick.
You know, it seems to me, and then there's Samari Figures, who is Vivian Figures' son, who's a well-known person in that area. I mean, not, she is a well-known
person.
Right,
yeah,
person.
The family, the Figures.
The family is very, very well-known. Is, he has a long shot, but he's got a lot of friends in D.C. that could put some money behind him, which could be effective. But I wonder if it will come down to more, do you see, I don't want to dismiss the women, but Bracey and Daniels, is that kind of what you're thinking, or is that not right, Josh?
No, I think so. I think I still believe that Anthony Daniels is probably the front runner. And it has to do with what we just talked about, raising the money off of this thing. You know, I know just looking at what he's been able to do in terms of fundraisers so far and who he's been able to get to the table at fundraisers, I think he's going to have a pretty big lead when we see the first campaign finance.
Right, which should be within a week or so.
Right, but then again, don't underestimate Marika Coleman and Gwendolyn LeVan's ability to get their name out there too.
Yeah.
I mean, we experience it with them every day. They are a PR machine when it comes to getting, you know, messages out there and their ideas out there. So they're going to be pretty formidable when it comes to that.
Well, they know how to get that free earned media.
They really know how to get that.
And that is a big, big plus when you're in a race where, but again, I think they're going to dump a bunch of money into this race.
Yeah.
Also on the Republican side, you've got some well-known folks, but not necessarily well-known in the district.
Right.
You've got Greg Allbritton, mm-hmm. whose district is right next to that one. Mm-hmm. Of course, you've got
Dick Brubaker is one
from
of them.
Montgomery.
Yeah.
You've got Caroline Dobson.
Nice. Who is, there we go.
Is,
nice.
Is well financed. Yeah. And then you've got Gilbert.
Wallace Gilbert.
Yeah. The former.
Well, we couldn't have it all.
Right. yeah, right. Now we can't get that right.
Okay. Practice right. stops and then left Gilbert.
Yeah, anyway.
Now, as far as money goes, I think Greg Allbritton is sitting in the catbird seat.
Absolutely.
When it comes to money, because that's Porch Creek money. That's real money down there.
That's yeah. real money.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he's going to get the support from the Porch Creek because he's been representing that district where they are for a long time, and he's done a lot of things that I think they think along the same lines. Let me say that way. I don't want to couch it as he's done a lot of things for them.
No. Nothing unscrupulous.
I want to just say that I think they think a lot alike in terms of gaming interest and things like that, which really makes some of the allegations of, well, we don't need to pass gambling because we'll drive Democrats to the polls. When you've got the guy who's probably one of the front runners in the Republican race, who is the biggest gambling advocate out there.
Yeah.
But, and then you have Dick Brubaker, who's been around for a long time in Montgomery, and I think that'll be pretty key as to what he can do there in terms of raising money with the business people in Montgomery. Caroline Dobson, you're right, she has a lot of backers, but she doesn't have a lot of name money, so she's gonna have to work a lot harder.
Of course, they're gonna, the Republicans in this are gonna have to work really hard, because that's gonna lean Democrat in that area. Just not, you can't walk in there with a conservative message and really attract voters.
I mean, part of that is a red area.
Yes.
The rural parts.
Yeah.
But if you can't take Montgomery and that surrounding area or Mobile, I don't think you win that race. I really don't.
Yeah, I don't think it's an accident that you have some of the most centrist Republicans that you can have, and Greg Allbritton and Dick Brubaker, and I guess Caroline Dobson, although I don't know much about her. And then you have Wallace Gilberry, who is quite an anomaly in the terms that he's a black Republican.
Yeah.
Former football player. And I think he will, that's the reason why I think you include him in this. He's a novice, first time in doing anything, and so he's going to have a big learning curve. But he also has, I think, some attractive qualities to a lot of people, where he's an outsider a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
He also will appeal to some black voters, and he'll kind of cross the aisle a little bit. So
yeah, and I agree with Josh on being the outsider. Voters like that. Voters like getting rid of the swamp, and that's very attractive.
Well, I think that at the bottom line here is going to be how much money can you raise and spend on TV. Again, it's 2 months not even a couple of days.
Yeah.
It's 2 months.
Yeah, and I think all of this stuff that people are leaning on now about whether or not you care about somebody living in the district or being in the district and stuff, I think that sounds good on the outset of these things.
Yeah.
But the reality is you're going to listen to the messages over the next few weeks and you're going to make a decision. Yep. And I think a lot of that stuff kind of goes to the wayside, and you're going to vote for the person that you think is going to best represent the district.
And I think you have a lot of avenues down there to get out the message in churches, like that.
Yeah.
Well, that really make a difference.
And one thing that's going to hurt all of them is a lot of people are focused on the presidential race right now.
Yeah.
And this is coming in under all of that, that cloud of information that's out there. So only your real serious voters are going to be paying attention.
Well, it's not going to be, I don't know if it'll be a high turnout or not. We'll see. But anyway, we're going to have to leave it right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back.
It's time. Time we had someone in Congress fighting for us. As Democratic leader in the State House, Anthony Daniels helped steer millions of dollars into our district, fighting to raise wages, invest in our infrastructure, and create good jobs. Now he's passed a new law, removing state taxes on overtime pay, putting more money in our pockets. It's time for Anthony Daniels for Congress. One of us for all of us.
I'm Anthony Daniels, and I approve this message.
Your home is your most valuable asset, but what if someone tried to steal it from you? Property fraud is one of the fastest growing areas of fraud in the country today.
As a district attorney, I've seen firsthand the devastating effects of property fraud. That's why I'm proud to support the Montgomery County Probate Court's REACT program.
REACT is designed to protect your property and to give you peace of mind. By signing up, you'll receive an email notification if a document is filed against your property.
This program is a game changer. It has the potential to prevent fraud and protect countless homeowners throughout Montgomery County.
So don't wait. Sign up for REACT today and protect your home.
Protect your home with REACT. Sign up today.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. Susan, there is no lack of hypocrisy and misinformation and people just handing out fiction as if it's fact. So what we have right here is the gambling issues heating up. Speaker of the House Ledbetter has said he wants gambling on the docket this year in session. So API, the Alabama Policy Institute, and all their left or right wing leaning friends who don't have a brain in their head are coming out with all kinds of fictions about how terrible, terrible it'll be if we get gaming. I mean, the head of API has compared it and said it's going to be as terrible as the Cannabis Commission.
Let me do one of your signature moves on this. Will you actually read the bills instead of just spouting off stuff? I mean, seriously, it's going to be as bad as the Cannabis Commission? The Cannabis Commission has nothing to do with regulating gaming. Okay, they don't. The commission that's going to be over gaming has no similarities whatsoever. All right, they don't decide who gets to go. They don't, you know, like the Cannabis Commission does. I mean, they're just blowing smoke again. They just want to keep this up in the air. And truthfully, probably, you know, you don't want to get voters out on, you know, November to actually vote on this. So that's probably their angle.
Josh, maybe they've been smoking the peace pipe over there with the Choctaws again.
Yeah. It is really interesting how some people are so against gaming and so against any effort to offer. Yeah, this is the thing that I hate. I hate to kind of describe it as, well, we're gonna pass gaming. We're going to allow for legalized gaming. Because we already allow for legalized gaming.
Yes, we do.
I mean, it's all over the place. And people keep couching it as, well, we've got all these illegal gaming. Yeah, we do have a lot of illegal gaming. But we got a whole lot of legal gaming going on in the state as well right now, from which we get very little revenue.
Right.
And so I think that's what a lot of people need to better understand. And this idea that they have of, well, we could just pass tougher laws. I mean, it's something that a child would say. Right. I mean, honest to God, it's so simplistic and wrong that it's honestly, it's hard to even counter it because, well, why couldn't we pass tougher laws? Well, we can, but there's a whole process that you have to go through to do that. Yeah. And you're going to have to declare illegal a lot of things that are currently legal. And you're going to have to make these people who like those things vote against those things.
Right.
And you know, just to listen to them is so idiotic and convoluted that you have to think that there's something else driving it. And it's got to be some sort. Someone once told me the answer to all of your questions is money.
Yeah, it is.
Of course. And,
you know,
everybody's there. One man's plan in Alabama politics is another person's plot.
That's right.
Certainly.
And there's always the money.
There's money to be. I mean, API is getting money from people who don't want gambling in the state. The lobbyists are making a fortune off keeping gaming out of the state. I mean, there's two of your main money sources right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So to keep all this confusion going on, which is all it is just trying to confuse the issue, is tantamount. It's very good for them. So why wouldn't they do that?
I mean, for 10 years, we have sat on this show and said, legalize it, regulate it, and tax it.
Yeah.
Now, we finally have a Speaker of the House who realizes that we've got an illegal gambling problem.
Mm-hmm.
But he also realizes, I think, and Representative Andy Whip, that we've got a legal gambling situation.
Mm-hmm.
So like you said, we've got to come together. And these people who go, I want a free market solution. No, you don't.
You don't want free market anywhere else. But all those, yeah, what? All those things, all of those excuses are exactly that. They're excuses not to do this.
Right.
And that's all anybody really cares about. All they, those folks on that side, all they care about is throwing enough mud at this to make the waters murky to where people just go, ah, that seems sketchy.
The big question in my mind is, we're one of the poorest states in the nation. We're talking about making millions and billions off of that into state coffers.
Yeah.
Why aren't they focusing on that? It's going on already. It's already legal in these counties, and we're getting nothing off of it, but we stand to make, you know, where Alabama could be one of the premier states in the South.
Well, we're already, what kills me is you're right, we already have it. Here in the state, but we also have it all around us as
We do.
And we're spending tens and if not hundreds of millions of dollars in others in surrounding states. Yeah. We've sent a lot of Georgia kids to college.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and this is one of the things that we look at a lot is access to college now. And there are a lot of kids, a lot of poor kids in Georgia that have been able to take advantage of that. And it just, it does, if we were an island somewhere, okay, well, your illegal gambling laws might make some sense, but we're not. We're right here in the midst of all this.
Sure.
And to keep going at this the way we are is really stupid.
Well, it's not. Go ahead.
And as much as our lawmakers love to spend money, especially on their pet projects or something stupid like school choice, why wouldn't they want this money to be able to spend it?
Well, I think they've been flush with COVID money, so they haven't had that.
Well, that's
true. They do want it. It's just there are people that are making money off of it that don't want it.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it is. I want to real quickly point to the fact that Alabama labor force and job force is doing great right now. Mm-hmm. Even though there are people who tell you they're feeling bad with the economy. The numbers do not say that. You know, the 57.1% people at work, the main group of folks that's working age, they're at work, and wages are up. Susan, I mean, that's good news.
It's looking, you know, anybody who wants a job right now has an opportunity to get it. Unfortunately for the employers, not everybody wants the jobs that they need to fill.
Yeah.
So, and that's kind of a good situation to be in as a state, and that's pretty impressive.
I mean, Josh, I don't remember when Alabama had this good numbers.
No, I mean, the Democratic policies at the national level have been great for Alabama. They have.
There's no argument with that.
Inflation has hurt. Inflation has hurt a lot of people. But inflation was up globally, and it is it shrank faster in the United States than in any of the other industrialized nations that are out there. So, you know, I think that we have done a tremendous job. You're right. Alabama's workforce is working. We need to see about raising wages more.
Sure.
Yeah,
you
know,
contact your unions and see what you can do about unionizing. I think that all helps. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those folks at AFL-CIO that are our friends.
You're
with them.
You're plugging here. But I agree, you know, and the higher the wages, the more people have to compete for the help, the more unemployed folks. Mm-hmm. Boom, you got to compete. And compete means paying out the dollars.
Yep.
And I'd like to see everybody in Alabama have a very prosperous
year. Absolutely.
Yes, certainly. Certainly.
All right, we're going to have to leave it right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back.
Today, Montgomery is a safer city. It's time to shift the narrative and take control of our future. We're reopening community centers, remediating blight, and revitalizing neighborhoods across the city. And we're unleashing new opportunities. Over the past year, companies have invested a record-setting $2 billion in Montgomery and created 2,000 jobs. This is a new Montgomery. And together, we're reimagining the possibilities.
125. As a paramedic, you wouldn't believe the things that we've seen.
I've seen all types of horrible things.
I mean, we're there basically picking up the pieces from your worst day.
Everyone is just driving and not paying attention.
We all have the same goal. All of us want to go home alive and safe and harm nobody else in the process.
Slow down. Be careful. Care about the other people on the road. Don't be the reason that someone else doesn't go home tonight.
Thank you.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. Josh, just when we thought the fat lady had sung, or the calorically challenged woman mm-hmm. had sung, mm-hmm. we now get to the place where Judge Anderson has announced another temporary restraining order on the Medical Cannabis Commission and the integrator's license, but he's also allowing them to take depositions.
Yeah, it continues to be a mess. And you know, I've read through the order from Judge Anderson, and it seemed as though he struggled a little with balancing out, you know, what should be done versus the fact that we continue to delay getting the medicine to the folks who need it. And which is understandable. But, you know, as he said in the order, you know, I think the greater public interest in this is in getting this process right and making sure that we conduct a fair process as a state entity. And so, you know, I don't think that it has been done so far. I don't think that has been achieved. There have been so many problems. And I don't understand why they couldn't... I don't understand why they couldn't have just done it right. You know what I mean? And we all look at this and we say, well, you know, look, nuance this and nuance that. But there was a process by which we are accustomed to doing these sorts of things.
Yeah.
And they didn't do any of that stuff. They just went about it in such weird ways that you looked at it from the outset and said, something's wrong with that.
Again, it's back to the scoring. He's told them over and over again, don't do it this way. Don't, where you've got, you know, four judges or four commissioners that can give a great rating to, you know, a company, and then you get one judge, one commissioner out of all of them can tank that company. That's not the way this process is supposed to happen. There's supposed to be debate. There's supposed to be voting. That's the way it's done.
And they didn't even follow their own rules or the rules of the state. There was no debate. Mm-hmm. The votes were basically secret.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are basic things under the Alabama Administrative Code Procedures Act mm-hmm. that they didn't follow.
Yeah, it just, like, let me, an example so people understand. So that in the law, as one of the five licenses that had to be awarded was to a minority-owned company. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so there were several that applied for licenses. The top two, one finished 10th, one finished 12th in the overall ranking system that they use. Well, they voted to approve the 10th, the top-ranked minority-owned company, and they voted it down and chose the 12th-ranked company.
Right.
And there was no discussion. There was no explanation for why this happened. There was no one stood up and said, listen, we have a problem really with the security, or we don't believe that these people are going to have a facility in time, or we don't think they have. Nobody said a word.
Yeah.
You have no idea why any of this happened. And that's not the way this is supposed to work.
No.
Well, in addition to voting by secret ballot in the meeting, which is what they did, and then tried to rectify that by releasing those ballots mm-hmm. after the fact, there's one very clear passage in the law they're supposed to be following. You must visit the facility prior. It doesn't say anything about prior to issuing, prior to awarding. It says prior to, and that means prior to voting.
And that's what I'm saying about this whole thing. Yeah. Is it from the beginning, from the weird, you know, limitation on file sizes to the giving some people a workaround and others not a workaround, letting some people do it this way and not that way, to the way that they chose to vote. They went into it. First of all, they completely violated the Open Meetings Act by going in and holding the whole meeting basically in executive session and deciding who they were going to hand it out to, and then just coming out and announcing it to the world as though they were announcing the next Pope. I mean, it was just, honestly, it's been screwed up from the start. And when you look at it, you got to think, the hell is going on here?
Well, that's why the depositions are very important.
Yeah.
And as we've said all along, we're never going to know what really happened unless there are depositions.
Just one more thing on I'll beat my point, then we can go back to that. In that you're supposed to visit prior. I know for a fact, I'm not going to name any names, but I know for a fact one of those that was awarded a license called one of the ones that didn't get awarded a license and offered by their facility.
Yeah, because they don't have
one. They don't have
a facility. That's the point of prior to the awarding.
It just doesn't make sense. It makes the whole thing makes no sense.
The thing about this is that it just, whenever we know in politics, whenever it doesn't make sense, mm-hmm. that's because they don't want to know what just happened.
Yep.
Now, we can blame this on poor lawyering or poor leadership mm-hmm. or all this. But this is one of those kind of hinky things yes. that we witness in politics where you go, why is no one going to jail yeah. for this?
Yeah. Who's brother-in-law getting a contract, you know?
I mean, tell you what I'm looking forward to, though. Getting my iced tea and my popcorn and reading those depositions.
Well, they will be out by the 19th, right?
Yes. Yeah, they have to have them all in by the 19th and a hearing on the 24th.
Yeah. And we've all said it's just a matter of who and when's going to jail. And I got a feeling this is where we're going to find that out.
No one is, but we, you know,
hopefully. But.
Well, we only got about a minute and a half, and I do want to get this in real quick, mm-hmm. is that one of the big issues that's going to be on the agenda for the mm-hmm. legislature in February is going to be school choice. Mm-hmm. And there's a full court press on this. They've got their media outlets. They've got API. They've got, you know,
a lot of money to be made by these private businesses.
All these big mm-hmm. pushes are coming this way. What they won't explain, Josh, is how they're going to get those kids to school.
Yeah. Yes, it's the most discriminatory process that you can imagine for poor kids. All yeah. right? Because all you have to do to blow this whole thing up, and anybody can try it, ask anybody who is pro-school choice, how are you going to get the poor kids to a better school?
Yeah.
How are they going to get there? How are they going to get to the school? And inevitably, they'll tell you, well, this isn't for everybody. No. This isn't for everybody. We're going to leave them behind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's and exactly so what they're going to do. That,
the most at-risk kids yeah. out there.
Well, and that is such... That is such a loving thing to do.
It really is.
We take the people who have the least opportunity mm-hmm. and we say, well, we're going to give you even less opportunity.
Yeah, well, we kind of do that with Medicaid expansion already. So.
But the thing that bothers me, and look, we've looked at this 7 ways to Sunday, is that they're basically going to take around $650 to $700 million mm-hmm. out of the Education Trust Fund. We might be flush now, but I've seen times, and you've seen times, mm-hmm. we've all seen times, where we didn't have enough money to keep the lights on.
Right. Yeah, they should name this bill the draining of the ETF fund.
Yeah, right. Well, that's probably what it's going to end up being. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's what they want. That's the majority, probably what they'll get. Mm-hmm. Screw them kids.
That's right.
Anyway, you've been watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You watch us because we watch them. Mm-hmm.